Welcome to the 21st. I'm Jenna Dooley. Coming up this hour, the coronavirus has spread to more than 70 countries. There have been a handful of cases reported here in Illinois. We'll hear how it's affected travel plans for people in the state, and we'll check in with a virologist. But first, it's Super Tuesday, and the state's casting ballots today contain 40% of the U.S. population. Illinois is not one of them. Our state holds its primary March 17th. Still, from congressional races to the presidential race, money is pouring in on all sides from now until November. In Illinois, one of the most competitive and costly races is in Illinois' 13th congressional district. WGLT reporter Ryan Denham has been covering the candidates in this race, and he joins us now for more. Also, we have Kent Redfield. He's professor emeritus of political science with the Institute for Legal, Legislative, and Policy Studies at the University of Illinois Springfield. He also wrote the book. It's called Money Counts: How Dollars Dominate Illinois Politics and What We Can Do About It. Both of you, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jenna.
Ryan, can you remind us a bit about the 13th district, where it is, what it looks like geographically and demographically?
Well, first things first, it's huge. It covers a large chunk of Illinois, including Bloomington Normal, or parts of Bloomington Normal, Springfield, Decatur, parts of Champaign, Urbana. It's a really interesting mix of like white-collar communities, college towns like Bloomington Normal, where you've got a headquarters of State Farm, but also a lot of rural areas that would have been pretty hard hit by the trade disputes that have been going on. The district voted for President Trump by 5 percentage points last time around. Romney won the district pretty narrowly back in 2012, so it is comfortably a swing district.
Ryan, who are the candidates this time around?
So Congressman Rodney Davis is the Republican incumbent who's had the seat for a while. The two Democrats who are on the ballot facing off in the primary are Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan of Springfield. She was the nominee back in 2018, and she lost pretty narrowly to Davis that time around. And the second Democrat in the race this time around is a relative newcomer, a first-time candidate for office, Stephanie Smith of Urbana, who is sort of trying to flank Londrigan from the left, a little bit more left-leaning on several issues, including health care.
Ryan, one more before we head over to Kent. We want to talk about fundraising. You recently looked into the Federal Election Commission filings for these candidates. Ryan, how much money has gone into this race?
Quite a bit. So Londrigan, who is the Democrat, has over $1 million in cash on hand as of the last filing deadline, slightly ahead of where Davis, the incumbent, is. And there is just a lot of money even flowing in from out of state that makes this race pretty notable. What I found interesting was that to kind of compare where Londrigan was 2 years ago versus where she is today from a fundraising perspective. So to put it in that context, Londrigan has like almost five times as much money in the bank as she had this time 2 years ago. And that was ahead of 2 years ago, she was up against a five-way Democratic primary. So, it's interesting how it's shaking out.
Ryan, you touched on some of the numbers from this race compared to the previous time. Kent Redfield, what observations have you had about how the numbers compare to where this race in the 13th congressional district was in 2018?
Well, because neither one of them actually has a serious challenge, you're going to see less spending, after we get through the primary, and they won't, the urgency of them raising money, isn't as great as if they faced either one of them facing a primary. You're going to see a lot of money come into this district from outside sources that are not going to be run through the campaign. So 2 years ago, the two of them together spent $7.8 million of money that they raised themselves, but there was another $6 million that came in from super PACs that are basically representing Democrat or Republican interests and to some extent business and labor. So what was a, maybe a $13, $14 million race 2 years ago is likely to be at least that expensive and maybe more so with, 40% of the money perhaps coming in from outside groups because this is a seat that can flip. Last time around, it didn't flip. The Democrat or the Republican Rodney Davis retained the seat, but two seats up in the suburbs went from Republican to Democrat. And so Illinois has three districts that potentially could change hands. And so we're going to see a lot of outside money because all of these are critical for controlling the House. The Republicans are not likely to take back control of the House if they end up losing Rodney Davis this week. That would be a very bad sign. So it's not just people in the 13th district, but there really is a national audience where this money is coming from.
Ryan, according to the nonpartisan Cook Political Report, that 13th congressional district is a toss-up, like Kent mentioned. It could go either way. One of the few in Illinois. Why do you think it's become so competitive?
Well, I mean, a couple of reasons come to mind, and Ken may have additional thoughts, but the district is drawn to be competitive. You know, districts in Illinois are drawn by the majority party, that being the Democrats. And so the district is meant to give Democrats a shot at it, even if it is, a pretty conservative place. Another reason is that, President Trump is going to be on the ballot in 2020, and he was not in 2018. So that may tighten things up a little bit.
Kent, why do you think the 13th has become so competitive?
Well, I think, it's exactly correct that it was drawn to be a district that or the Democrats in the right year with the right candidate might be competitive. And it does reflect a lot of national politics. It is, as we were talking about earlier, it has a mixture of urban and college towns, rural areas, the effect of the trade dispute with China, and the continuing issue of health care are things that were big issues in 2 years ago. They're going to continue to be big issues. And so, you're playing out the national conflict. That's being reflected in this district. Lots of other districts in Illinois are overwhelmingly Democrat or overwhelmingly Republican, and it's the few areas that are swing districts that both you've got the national issues and then you've got the national money because you see an opportunity to make a difference rather than, contributing to somebody you agree with in another district, but they have no chance of winning.
Kent, historically speaking, do you know how the district was drawn that way? Has it always been competitive like this?
When we did it changes every 10 years. And so the previous map was essentially an incumbent protection map. And so my city, Springfield, had three congressional districts because Lane Evans, the Democratic congressman who was in the Quincy area, he had his district went all the way over to Decatur. When they drew the new district, the assumption on the Democrats' part was that the Metro East district would stay Democratic because there was a congressman named Costello, and they expected his son to run in that district. He didn't, and it flipped Republican, but this district was drawn, again, the idea was if you're going to get a Democrat in central Illinois, then you've got to capture as many Democratic votes as possible, and that's why you've got Bloomington, Normal, Champaign, Springfield, goes all the way down to Edwardsville and Madison, Madison County. So you're always making, when you draw these maps, you're trying to project. And I think, downstate Illinois has trended much more conservative than the Democrats thought. And so this is a tough thing for Lonergan to win. It's going to be very close. And it's really, we're either going to have one Democratic congressman from downstate or two. Sherry Boustros will probably retain her seat. But
she's a very moderate Democrat.
Right. But in the suburbs, two districts that were drawn, assuming they would elect Republicans, and so they drew them in ways to make other districts more favorable to Democrats, two districts put in the suburbs. So when you draw maps, you're always kind of guessing what are the demographic trends going to be for the next decade. And it turned out that downstate is more conservative than people thought it would be, and the suburbs have shifted more to the left.
I think that would be Lauren Underwood winning.
Lauren Underwood and Kass. So Peter Roskin and Holgren were the two Republicans, and everybody assumed, that those were safe districts, and they turned out not to be in a year when the Democrats had all of the momentum. We'll see who has the momentum in this election.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of Illinois Springfield, and Ryan Denham, a reporter at WGLT in Normal. Ryan, has the competitiveness of this race brought in money? Well, actually, I should say, where has the money been coming from?
Yeah, interesting. That was something we've been paying a lot of attention to at WGLT. So for Londrigan, the Democrat from Springfield, she's relying more on individual contributions. So 80% of her money going directly to her has come from individual contributors. Only two-thirds of that money has come from Illinois. So you've got a bunch of money coming in from California, Massachusetts, Missouri, New York. And on Davis's side of the fence, he's relying less on individual contributors. Incumbents can attract sort of larger PAC dollars. So he's relying less on individual contributors, but those who are giving money individually, about 60% of that is coming from Illinois residents. So a fair amount for both of them coming from out of state.
Well, Kent, you did write the book called Money Counts, How Dollars Dominate Illinois Politics and What We Can Do About It. You wrote that back in 2000, but it says what we can do about it. So I want to open this up to you, Kent. If there is so much money going into the races, the so what?
Well, there are two issues there, at least two. I mean, one of them is just the because of how the system has opened up, the opportunity for very wealthy individuals either to run or to finance super PACs. And so you've got a lot of really big money coming in and much more corporate money because of the Citizens United decision. And then when races get nationalized, then sometimes, as they do in these competitive ones where the two parties are going to be providing, 40-50% of the money. Then you start to have races that are the race up in the sixth district, which was the Kasten Rothman race, was $24 million. So you're starting to have so much money there that often the local interests get lost. That the concentration is more on on the big issues and what people are, the problems of the specific issues of the district sometimes get lost when these contests become nationalized. So, you want to elect people that know your interests, that are going to represent you, and often these get to be fights between huge money interests and political parties, that are thinking nationally rather than locally.
Ryan, as you're conveying this information and covering the candidates for your audience, why do you think it's important for your audience to know the money that's going in the race behind their issues?
I think it's just an indicator of how important it is to the rest of the country. I think we can look at a congressional race and, it's got a small part of Bloomington-Normal, for example, included, but to sort of be able to look at our local member of Congress in a national perspective is really important. So many of the stories that we hear on public radio or whatever are coming from Congress, right? And it's, national deliberations on this or that issue. But this is an example where national issues are being shaped right in our backyards, and this is a pretty premier congressional race in that context.
That's Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at University of Illinois Springfield, and you just heard from Ryan Denham, a reporter with WGLT, which is within the 13th Congressional District. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Certainly.
Coming
Thanks,
up.
Jenna.
Yep, coming up after the break, we know O'Hare has been screening some international travelers to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But what are smaller regional airports doing in Illinois? We'll hear from the director of the Peoria Airport. That's next on the 21st.